Lord, we are so thankful for this opportunity to worship you this morning. We're so thankful, Lord, for what you did all those years ago in entering into the city again to bring your peace, to bring salvation, to bring redemption. We pray, Father, this morning that we enjoy recounting and remembering and reflecting on this amazing story. And that somehow, Lord, for each one of us, there's a piece to each that might speak to us specifically, Lord. I pray that you would touch each of our hearts and give us humility and tenderness that we are ready to receive what you have to offer, Lord. So bless us, Lord, in the preaching and in the hearing and the applying of your truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today, as you can imagine, it's Palm Sunday. So we're celebrating Palm Sunday. We celebrate this day because it signifies Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem before his arrest, crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on Sunday was greatly anticipated. There was thick tension and drama all throughout the city and the region. With each passing day of Jesus' ministry, each day, each month, and each year, Jesus' fame and popularity grew, and so did the hatred of the religious leaders. The Pharisees initially approached Jesus with curious inquiries, which led to accusations and finally entrapping questions, and finally to plotting his death. Just a few months prior to this week of Passover, in fact, Jesus and his disciples were back in Jerusalem celebrating Hanukkah, when a group of people approached Jesus and surrounded him, and they asked him this question: "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus didn't give them a plain answer, but this is how he responded to John the Baptist when John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Who are you? Are you the one we're expecting, or should there be someone else?" Jesus responded to his disciples in Matthew 11. He said, "Go back and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is preached to the poor." Well, those that were surrounding Jesus apparently did not like his answer. They responded by picking up stones in order to kill him. But Jesus and his disciples escaped, and they left that region, they left Jerusalem and left that region to an area to the northeast of the Jordan River. Now Jesus stayed in this region to the northeast for a few months, and it was a safe place for him to stay. That's because that's where John the Baptist lived, that's where he ministered, and that's where he taught about Christ. So they were very accepting of Christ when he went up into that region to stay. Now, before leaving that safe area and coming back to Jerusalem, Jesus gathered his disciples with him, and he said this to them: "Listen, we're going up to Jerusalem, where all the predictions of the prophets concerning the Son of Man will come true. He will be handed over to the Romans, and he will be mocked, treated shamefully, and spit upon. They will flog him with a whip and kill him. But on the third day, he will rise again." But they didn't understand any of this. The significance of his words were hidden from them, and they failed to grasp what he was talking about. His first stop on the way back to Jerusalem was Jericho, which was about 17 miles north of Bethany. On the arrival to Jericho, a man named blind Bartimaeus heard that he was coming and walking by and began shouting. Makes you wonder why parents would call him blind Bartimaeus. I don't know why they would name him that, but I'm just kidding, of course. See, that did not come off that well, did it? Well, anyway, blind Bartimaeus is yelling, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The crowd yelled at him to be quiet, but he shouted louder. And finally, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "I wanted to see." And then Jesus healed him. While he was in Jericho, Jesus was approached by a young religious leader who asked the question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, he didn't like Jesus' answer. He dropped his head and he went away sad. Later, Jesus met this man. He met a man who was greedy, who was a greedy and crooked tax collector from that region. His name was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I've cheated people of their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." And Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham." And upon speaking to Zacchaeus, Jesus declared his purpose for coming to the earth in the first place. He said, "The Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Therefore, and once again revealing his purpose in coming to the earth. Meanwhile, as Jesus was teaching and healing and ministering in Jericho, again on his return trip to Jerusalem, one of his close friends became gravely ill. His sister sent word to Jesus so he would come and heal him, but Jesus remained in Jericho for 2 days. And when the time was right, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." But they protested and said, "Are you kidding me? The last time we were there, they tried to kill you." Finally, Jesus told them, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now, you will really believe. Come, let's go see him." Now, even after 3 years of traveling with Jesus, being taught by Jesus, witnessing wonderful miracles, they still did not fully understand who Jesus was. And they expected to die if they went back to Jerusalem or to Judea with him. Thomas, one of the fellow disciples, said this. He said, "Let's go too and die with him." They couldn't imagine the incredible miracle that would, right before them, that would set the stage for Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, which was about a day's journey away, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. And when Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you would have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone rises on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world." Now when Mary arrived on the scene, she fell at Jesus' feet and said again, just like her sister, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." Mary's weeping and the wailing of the other mourners angered Jesus. He was clearly moved as well, but he was angered. Now at this point, they pointed off to the grave and Jesus began to weep. And I can only imagine that Jesus was in the midst of this anger at their unbelief, but also in anguish and hurt because of their sorrow and their deep anguish. Now, most of you already know the rest of the story, right? Jesus was led to the grave. He prayed and then he shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus came out. And scripture records this response. It says this, "Many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen." Many, not all. This amazing miracle set shockwaves throughout the region and into Jerusalem the days before Palm Sunday. When the Sanhedrin, made up of the leading priests, Sadducees, and the Pharisees, when they heard about this miracle, they put an arrest warrant out for Jesus. And they said, if anyone sees him entering into the city, they were to report it so that he could be arrested. The people in the city began to anticipate this kingdom confrontation. Jesus, the Messiah, the King of the Jews against the chief priests and the Sanhedrin. It was set up as an epic battle. The Pharisees were at a loss at how to stop Jesus. They said this, what are we going to do? This man certainly performs many miraculous signs. If we allow him to go on like this, soon everyone will believe in him. Then the Roman army will come and destroy both our temple and our nation. Now, in order to understand the Pharisees' concerns here, every year at Passover, hundreds of thousands of pilgrims would return to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And oftentimes in the past, their passion, their nationalistic fervor would rise up and they would rebel. And the Roman army would have to put down that rebellion. And here they are again in the throes, in the midst of this possible rebellion and concern for their nation and for the temple. They had legitimate reasons to be concerned. And this is why the Roman army kept a garrison stationed in the city. In fact, Barabbas, who would later be released by Pilate in Jesus' place, was an insurrectionist. He was in prison for rebellion. Well, Sunday morning has finally arrived. And the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem has swept through the city. Jesus and the disciples made their way from Bethany and came to a town called Bethphage, located in the Mount of Olives. Now, the Mount of Olives was a small mountainous region which sits about 300 feet above where Jerusalem sat. So Jerusalem was more even a valley. So Jesus and his disciples, they would have walked from Bethany to Bethphage when Jesus decided it was time to upgrade his ride. What? Didn't get that? Okay, anyway. He's going to go... Anyway, okay. Stick with me here, okay? This is what Scripture says about Jesus deciding to not walk anymore. He told two of his disciples, go into the village over there, and as soon as you enter it, you'll see a donkey tied up with its colt beside it. Untie them, bring them to me, and if anyone asks what you're doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. Now, this is exactly what happened. The disciples went in there, and it fulfilled what the prophet Zechariah had said. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now remember, this prophecy from Zechariah was 450 to 500 years before. So everything is laid out. The stage is set. The king and his worshipers are navigating the mountainous dirt roads as they come to the crest of the mountain. Looking down from the high point of the mountain, Jesus can see the eastern gates that lead into the temple. His eyes and his focus are square on the temple. And Jesus is surrounded by dozens of people, perhaps hundreds of people, as they start to trek down the mountainside with everyone singing and dancing and waving palm branches. As they get closer to the city, thousands of people are flocking to see this parade and the arrival of the king. Now imagine the sight from the city where the Roman soldiers were looking up and seeing this massive parade of people making their march on the city. And imagine the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin looking up the mountainside, seething with anger and jealousy, seeing this parade of the coming king. One of the Pharisees was even in the mix, and he said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying these things." But Jesus replied, if they keep quiet, the stones along the road will burst into cheers. As they rode along, more and more people poured out into the city to join this parade as the King of the Jews made his triumphant entry into the city. The passion, the joy, the worship must have been an incredible sight beyond anything that we can imagine. But as Jesus got closer to the city, he began to weep. Jesus begins to weep over the city. There is something not right with this picture. People have been laying coats and palm branches in front of him, praising God for all the miracles they had seen. And they were singing, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the highest." And yet, Jesus begins to weep. Something is not right with this picture. Everyone's singing, dancing, and celebrating as Jesus, the Messiah, the King, and yet he is weeping. Why is he weeping? It's because he alone knows the significance of this final trip to Jerusalem. Only he knows why he is returning. When he told his disciples plainly that he was going to be crucified and rise from the grave in 3 days, the truth was hidden from them. They couldn't understand. They couldn't believe. And when Mary cried out in bitter anguish about her brother's death, she couldn't understand and couldn't believe. And the religious young ruler, when he wanted to learn what it took for eternal life, he went away sad because of his great wealth. He couldn't understand and believe. Now imagine how it hurt Christ that no one seemed to truly know what was going on. He was alone in a sense. Later he would cry out to his Father, "Take this cup from me," and later to say, "Why have you forsaken me?" So as he got closer to the city, Jesus began to weep, and he said this, "How I wish today," looking down on the city, "How I wish today that you, of all people, would understand the way of peace. But now it's too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you didn't recognize it when God visited you." I believe this is what caused Jesus to weep. The way of peace was hidden from their eyes. And they were all looking for an earthly king to solve a political and national problem. They didn't recognize him as God among them, for that matter. Many of his followers didn't completely understand either. Just think about this. One day, "Hosanna, Hosanna." The next day, "Crucify him, crucify him." Well, within a few days anyway. And then when he was in the tomb for 3 days, who was standing outside the tomb to greet him when he rises from the grave? No one was. This is where the story ends for today before we carry on next week. The Jews and most of his followers did not recognize who he truly was. They were looking for a king of their own imagination or preference. Now, do you think Jesus was surprised? Do you think that this surprised Jesus, that they just did not get it? Now, for us today, we have the benefit of hindsight, and we have the Bible, and we have the Holy Spirit. But are we any different from these Jews? Don't we want a God of our own making? One that we can control. Give me this, give me that. Make my life better. Give me freedom. Don't we want a permissive Heavenly Father who looks the other way when we sin? Don't we want to treat God's grace as permission to sin rather than a reason not to? Listen, do you think the lack of understanding or our inability to obey fully and completely is a surprise to Jesus? Our misplaced ideas about God or His grace or His peace? I don't think that it is. Jesus did not give up on his disciples, did he? And he doesn't give up on you. Now think about this story and these days leading up to Palm Sunday. When I reflect on this story, the thing that I kept thinking about was, where was the joy? Jesus said, I make this trek because of the joy set before me. And in this last week, there were many opportunities for joy, weren't there? And I thought, what would bring Jesus the most joy in this week leading up to Palm Sunday? Lazarus returning to life, which was incredible. When Jesus told the disciples to go into Bethphage, there will be a donkey and a colt right there. Bring them to me. He's like, wow, that turned out to be true. There really were there. And maybe that gave him joy. The parade that was celebrating his return, or the songs of worship and adoration. You know, I don't think all these things gave him great joy. But I think Zacchaeus, who he met on the trip, who truly repented of his sins and surrendered his life to Christ, brought him great joy. And probably Martha's confession, I know that you are the Messiah. She said, yes, Lord, I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who's come into the world from God. As we reflect on Jesus' triumphant return to Jerusalem and meditate on the meaning of the crucifixion this week, I believe each one of us have the capacity to bring joy to the heart of Jesus this week. In fact, today, we have the capacity to give Jesus Christ joy by emulating Zacchaeus and truly repenting from our heart. And as Martha did, confessing Jesus as Lord, the Son of God who's come into the world. Looking at this text, looking at this story, this is how we accept this offer of peace on God's terms. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and turn to Him. Confess Him as Lord. And be united with Him in His death, burial, and resurrection through baptism. If you have never truly accepted Christ on His terms, or if somehow He is a God of your own imagination and preference, if you've never surrendered to Him, will you accept these terms for peace? And if you have accepted the terms for peace, will you take up your cross daily and treat His grace as a reason not to sin? Those are things that we can do this week to bring a smile to Christ's face, to bring joy to Him as we repent, believe, and put our faith in Him. That's how we prepare ourselves for next Sunday when we celebrate His resurrection. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank You for sending Jesus to die for our sins, for the peace that comes from knowing Him, the peace that is freely offered to us. Lord, I pray that You would remove the scales from our eyes, that we would see You for who You are, that we would worship You because of all You've done for us, that we would not take for granted Your grace. Please help each one of us to apply and learn and meditate this week on this amazing story in all that You have done for us, Lord. Bring glory to Yourself by speaking to our hearts, changing us into the men and women that You want us to be. We want, more than anything else, to serve You, to follow You, and to bring You glory. Help each one of us, Lord, in some small way, right now and throughout this week, to honor You and to bring You joy. In Jesus' name, amen.